The Kim Frazier Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. When I get together and sing on the world, be together
forever. Yes, we will. Tales will try again. I'm sorry. We just, you know, lay down some hot licks. Santana, you know it's Thursday. Good afternoon. Okay, so condos and co-ops form 30% of Montreal's housing stock. I mean, it's just a market that is booming since, I think sort of since it hit us really in a big way in the 80s. But owning real estate with a bunch of strangers can be, well, how shall I put this? Just a skosh problematic. And I know this because I've been getting email from people, grumpy people going, and I said, I don't know. I'm not an expert. What the heck do I know about condos? So we had complaints about condo associations making up all kinds of restrictive rules. Some poor woman couldn't put up her, she had a Chrismica wreath and was very upset that she could not put it up. The condo association put the kibosh on that. You have condo presidents who run the building like their own little fiefdom and punish anyone who disagrees with their plans. People have had to go to court to force associations or managers to do repairs that are, you know, problems in the common areas that are affecting their condo. So the problems can be endless, which is why it's my great pleasure to welcome Sébastien Fizet of Fizet Legal, who is an expert in condo law. He's here. He's ready to take your calls and answer my pointed questions. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
Yeah?
It's my first time.
That's okay. It's just us. It's just us, and we're nice. And besides, you're the guy who's given us free advice, so we're going to suck up to you. Get this man a coffee and some dancing girls. 514-790-0991, star talk, star 8255. If you're in a condo or you're thinking of buying one and you have a question for Sébastien, you know, about the ins and outs of what you should be looking for, the first thing I want to ask you is, what's the difference between there are condos and there are like these divided, undivided something or other legal entity. So
okay.
What's the diff?
Okay, a divided co-ownership is different than from a divided one, because when you go on the market and you want to buy a divided one, you're going to pay for your own fraction of co-ownership, your own tax. You're going to be the owner of a private portion. Actually, it's a fraction of co-ownership made of many private portions. It can be a dwelling unit. It can be a locker. It can be a garage space within the building. Meanwhile, if you're in undivided co-ownership, then it's different. You're with many other people, owner of all the building, without having a place where it's only your own place.
Okay, so if I'm in an undivided condo ownership, then I don't really own my condo.
No, I mean, the old building is the property of all the owners of the building. Meanwhile, if you're in a divided co-ownership, you're the owner of your fraction of co-ownership and undividedly of all the rest of the common portions of the building.
Right.
Many people think that the syndicate of co-ownership is the owner of the building, the common portion, but that's wrong, actually. All the co-owners themselves are the owner of all the building. Actually, the only thing that the syndicate of co-ownership has as his own property would be the contingency fund and things he may buy during the time of the life of the building.
So the syndicate of co-ownership is what? That's the legal entity that is set up to run the building, to make sure it gets maintained. That's the one you pay your condo fees to. Do they set the condo fees?
Yes. Actually, there are two decisional-making organs in a syndicate of co-ownership, in a divided one. There is the board of directors and there is the general meeting. At the general meeting, you will have officers. By law, you have the vice president, the president, and the secretary.
Okay.
Meanwhile, on the other side, you have the board of directors. Many people think that it pertains to the general meeting to elect the people on the board of directors, but that's wrong. It pertains to the board of directors themselves to elect who's going to be on the board of directors. And those people only have decision. They don't, I mean, what I mean is that it's not because you're the president of your syndicate of co-ownership that you have more right than the other people who are on the board of directors. Everybody takes decision together at the majority of the members of a board of director.
Okay. So, but I mean, who do condo owners get ticked off most at, Sébastien, between you and I? Who's the most annoying, general meeting or the board of directors?
I would say both, because on the board of directors, there's a lot of Napoleon people.
Okay.
And in general meeting, there's always that co-owner that wants to discuss many things that are not supposed to be discussed within a general meeting, or that there's some push that wants to be made at the general meeting to push out the members of the board and put a new one. And I mean, there's a lot of it's human like, nature at its best.
It's when high school, only with money.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, 514-790-0991. Let's go to the lines. We've got Linda on the line. Hello, Linda.
Yes, hi. A quick question. I broke my leg 3.5 weeks ago. I was out walking my dog. I live in a townhouse condo association, and I tripped over a piece of asphalt that had broken where tree-rooted, uprooted. I just want to know who's responsible, because nobody is taking responsibility.
Okay, so you were on the property of the syndicate of co-ownership of all
exactly,
the co-owners, right?
Exactly.
Okay. According to Article 1073 of Civil Code of Quebec, the syndicate of co-ownership needs to ensure both the common portion and the private portions of the building. But it also needs to ensure the responsibility of the syndicate of co-ownership. So if the syndicate of co-ownership didn't do his job, mainly according to Article 1077 of the Civil Code of Quebec, to maintain the building in its original order so that it can be, it wouldn't harm somebody, then the syndicate of co-ownership, should be responsible, and they should do a claim to their insurance company.
Okay, so they're not, right? Which is, I hear this all the time. So what is she, I mean, does poor Linda have to go hire a lawyer to get these people to honor their responsibility?
Not necessarily, depending on the amount. There's always the small claim court, amounts under $7,000.
There you go. So, Linda, Article 1073 and Article 1077, two articles. I wrote them down. You're going to want to look up and haul them. I know, I'm sure your leg to you is extremely valuable, but you might get $7,000 out of these people. Mm-hmm. Pay for, you know, the crutches and all the junk food you need to cheer yourself up because you're feeling so bummed. That's terrible, breaking your leg.
The Kim Frazier Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
CJAD time is 1:18. What are your rights, responsibilities as a condo owner? And if you're on the board of directors, get this, it's not all about a little power trip, my friend. It's about responsibility and taking care of business. Our guest is Sébastien Fizet, Fizet Legal. He's a condominium law expert. So 80% of your... your business?
More than that.
More than that?
I would say 95% of all my clients are syndicate of co-ownership, or they are co-owners themselves. But I would say mainly would be syndicate of co-ownership for the good reason that it costs to have a lawyer. And sometimes a lot of co-owners, they have problem to have a year from the board of directors because, some board of directors just do not understand what are their responsibilities, and they think much more in terms of budget than in terms of what they need to do on the building. I mean, I've seen many stories that came to me. For example, co-owners were having leakage in their unit, and the board of directors that year they didn't have any budget, so they didn't want to do nothing concerning this matter. So the poor co-owner needed to, whenever it was raining, stay in his unit to put a bucket to make sure that the water would not go on the floor. You understand? I mean, many, many situations like that.
514-790-0991. We've got Stella from Dorval. Hi, Stella.
Hi, Benjamin and Sébastien. I have a question. As the board of directors, how many proxies should they have at a general meeting?
They should not have any. I mean, when you give a proxy, you need to give it or to a co-owner or to someone outside. It doesn't need to be a co-owner, but you cannot give it to the board of directors. You need to give it to somebody who you can identify and has a name. You cannot give it to the syndicate of co-ownership nor to a legal person.
Wait a second. So what's happening with you, Stella, is that people are handing over proxies to members of the board of directors and that person can then vote for them?
The board of directors are asking for the proxies.
Well, if you want to give your proxy to a member of the board of directors, a certain person, you can do it, as you can give it to anyone you know. I've seen this in many co-ownership where the board of directors wants to keep being in power so that they will send the general meeting notice and asking to all the co-owners to give them their proxies if they cannot be there. I even seen, not a long time ago, some board of directors saying that if you're not there, we're going to take your votes at any general meeting.
And is that legal?
No, it's not legal.
Are they legally allowed to ask?
To ask, yes. They can, I mean, but not the board of directors. I mean...
No, but I mean, I'm just thinking, here you have like, you know, five guys on the board of directors or five people, and that's their slate. They want to get back in again. They figure, You know, not too many people show up for these general meetings. So tell you what, we're going to send Skippy around to all the condo owners and ask for the proxies. And so Skippy comes back with an armload full of proxies, plops himself down and says all of a sudden, okay, now I'm voting for 40 people. I mean, can you do that?
Yes, you can do that. It's politics.
Well, can you sell your proxy?
Yes, you could, but
that
would be a first for me.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just thinking, you know, Stella, you might as well make a little money out of it. I had an email from someone who was just beside themselves. They live in I didn't ask whether it was divided or undivided. I'm assuming it's probably divided. And they have the president of the board of directors is, when you were talking about little Napoleons, that's what this guy is like. And it's his way or the highway. And if you dare, she says, we have two problems. The problem is with this guy, because if you dare oppose him, he will get you. You know, it's not even an issue of, he takes it personally. And so if you're not in agreement with whatever it is he wants to do, forget it. You're sent to Coventry and you know, God help you if you need anything. But also, she says, it's the inertia of the other members. People complain about him and the way that he behaves, but nobody shows up to vote him off.
Yeah, a lot of cornership, corners are afraid to go against the board of directors. And some cornership, they just don't want to make any waves. So they always vote for the same members of the board, even though there are some big issues within that syndicate of cornership.
But isn't there also, I keep thinking about parents' committees at our kids' schools, isn't there really a dearth, too, of people who want to get involved? Because the people who are on the board of directors are residents of the building.
Yeah. Well, mostly, but it's not legally a necessity. You can be on the board of directors of a syndicate of co-ownership even though you're not a co-owner. It's possible, but it's very rare. I would say, actually, I had a case where there was a member on the board of directors who he was not a co-owner, and I mean, he was not doing his job, and then the co-owners who were living there needed to sue to make sure that I was referring to the case where I was talking to you about a leakage, for example, and that guy was not even on the board of directors, and he was not caring about what was going on within the building. And also, you have also those board of directors where there are some people who go on the board of directors for one reason, to control the budget, because... Let me know, you listeners, that it's very important that you know this. The board of directors, they are the one who have the power to decide on the budget. Article 1072 of the Civil Code of Quebec states that the general meeting is only consulted on the budget. It pertains to the board of directors to fix the budget.
Okay, now when you're talking about the budget, does that mean setting what the condo fees are going to be?
Exactly, exactly.
And how it's going to be spent.
Exactly. So legally, there are two steps. The first step is the board of directors will consult the general meeting on the budget. And the second step is afterwards. And it's not necessarily meaning that you need to have a vote. And then afterward, you will fix the budget.
Okay, okay. I'm going to ask you this question. And when we come back, you can answer it. Because... let me get this straight. You've got people who own condos in the building on this board of directors who are setting the condo fees. And it would seem to me that if you have high condo fees, I don't know, to put in a nice reserve fund to pay for expensive repairs, that would lower the value of your property, make your property less attractive to a potential buyer. I mean, isn't it in their it's in their personal best interest to keep the fees down, but it runs counter to the interest of everyone else to keep them quite low. So you can answer that in just a second.
The Kim Fraser Show on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
CJD time is 1:26. We're talking about your rights and responsibilities as a condo owner. What can you do if you've got a board of directors who's run amok? Our guest is Sébastien Fizet of Fizet Legal. He's a condominium law expert and says like 95% of his practice is taken up by people who are just being driven crazy by, because you're essentially getting into a financial relationship with a bunch of strangers.
Exactly.
And so I'd asked you about these condo fees for the contingency fund.
Okay.
And the owners setting the fees, and of course, in their personal interest to keep the fees as low as possible. But if there are any repairs to be made when you have a very low contingency fund, that's, you know, not good. It's not in everyone's long-term interest.
Okay. Let me first explain what is the use of a contingency fund. A contingency fund is for two things and two things only. And nothing else. It's for major repairs and replacement of the common portion of the building. You cannot use this to pay your lawyer. You cannot use this to pay your accountant. You cannot use this to change the to change the carpet for a hardwood floor, for example, because that's not the use. The use is only for major repairs, and the opposite would be minor repairs and maintenance, which is from the budget of every year. Uh-huh. But the contingency fund only for major repairs and replacement of common portion of the building. For example, the balcony, for example, suppose you need to change the roof. That's the only use of the contingency fund.
Do you find condo boards using contingency funds for other things? Is that something people should be watching out for?
I would say 90% of the time they don't use the contingency fund for the good reasons.
So they're frittering it away on things they're not legally allowed to use it for.
But the thing is that most of the time, it's just because the board of directors do not know about their responsibilities and what is the use of a contingency fund.
All right, let's go to the lines. We've got Derek from Pointe Claire.
Hi, my name is Derek. I've been living in this condo for 2 years, and as per the condominium's board of directors, I'm not allowed to put up a satellite dish. So I'm basically stuck with one service provider for my television. Is there anything I can do about it?
Actually, no, and I'm going to explain you why, because you know, the building itself pertains to all the co-owners themselves. So suppose you dig a hole in the wall to have a satellite dish on, for example, the balcony or on the side of the wall of the building. Understand that you're putting holes within the current portions of all the co-owners. So, and if you would like to go ahead with this, there's an article in the Civil Code of Quebec, which is 1097 of the Civil Code of Quebec, that states that if you want to do any modification, alterations, or transformation of common portions of the building, then you need to have the permission of a general meeting. And the percentage is 50% of all the corners are presenting 75% of the votes of all the corners.
Okay, so in other words, you got to bring this, you got to have to run around, lobby, and get enough support to be able to have this done. Or you can run your own slate of candidates, knock on people's doors, ask for their proxies,
exactly,
and become your own little king in your fiefdom.